The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
It's 9:26 this Wednesday morning. I'm joined now by Jackie Donoghue. Good morning, Jackie, and thanks for coming in to see us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You have a fierce bag of notes there, and don't be worrying about those for the moment, because you're here for, I suppose you're here for difficult reasons. You had the awful tragedy of June 2015 when you lost your daughter Ashley and your niece Olivia from the fourth floor balcony of that rented apartment in Berkeley in California. Mm-hmm. It is a day that is etched in the minds of most people listening this morning, because we listened to the reports coming from the States and the harrowing news as they came in, and everyone thought for a moment that your daughter was our daughter. And your family was our family, because that's what it felt like from away across the ocean. And yet it couldn't be anything like that, because obviously this is your family we're talking about. How have you been since, Jackie?
Well, if you ask me how I am, I'd say I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if my husband was here today, the thing he would probably say, I'm grand.
Yeah.
So that's probably our answer. Fine and grand. Depends on the day.
And are they real thought out answers, or are they just words to get you through?
They're
a
words,
day?
Pretty much. And yeah. I think if you talk to most people like that, they'll say, oh, I'm fine, or I'm grand.
What happened then? Like, can I ask you about that night and by getting a phone call, just to put it all in context, because you've been doing extraordinary work about safety and buildings and so forth. But I suppose if we could go back to what happened and the phone call you got that time, you were at home.
Yeah, well, I think really about that night, I mean, going back, it's just, you know, I'm Ashley's mother and sure. Olivia's aunt, and they were killed when they fell off a balcony. The balcony collapsed back in June in 2015. I mean, they stepped out in a balcony in Berkeley. I mean, how many people like would tell their kids, you know, don't drink and drive, don't text, don't do this, text me when you get there. I know Ashley that night, she did text me to say she was arrived at the party, and it was a Monday night, was for their friends. But in a million years, I don't think any parent would ever say, you know, don't step out in a balcony in the United States of America, because it could be the last step you'll take. And I don't think many people who's listening today even think every time they step out on a balcony in the United States of America, it could be the last step they'll take. Because if you look at it, a lot of these balconies, well, that particular one was put 50 feet up in the air, cantilevered, no tiebacks to the building. It was made of wood, left out in the rain for 7 months plus, and then covered in stucco. So would you walk out on that balcony?
I mean, I wouldn't.
If you knew that, you
of
know,
course, if
that
you knew.
Particular company who'd actually built the balcony or built the apartment building had actually been sued many, many times beforehand.
Yeah.
And had paid out over $26 million for the same kind of thing, for water intrusion. I mean, I don't think any kid or any adult or anyone would walk out in a balcony if they knew that. So, I mean, these kids were at a 21st. They were doomed. They were all 21. They were doing what they should be doing. So, I mean, it's horrible, horrible night. And going forward, obviously, we've all seen the papers with Berkeley and the families. I mean, and many people like send their kids away on a J1 from here.
Countless. Countless children.
And they don't think it'll be the last time that they'll see their kids.
But
what I would like to kind of hit on more would be even the support from the Irish government and the pastoral centre and everything. Because I think a lot of people in Ireland don't realise they send their kids away on a J1. If anything happens, it's the Irish consulate who does help them.
Can I mention the names of the other people involved on the basis that their families are probably listening this morning, and I don't want to upset anyone by saying that you lost, as I say, Ashley and Olivia Burke. but also the lives of Emer Walsh and Lorcan Miller and Nicolai Schuster and Owen Culligan, all celebrating the 21st of Aoife, who was seriously injured in the fall. If I always like when I'm talking to somebody, Jackie, to talk to them about, in this case, Ashley, and what kind of a girl she was and what kind of a daughter she was.
She was a wonderful daughter. Both her and my niece Olivia, they were best friends. Because her name is Olivia Burke, obviously, my
sure.
niece who passed away that night as well. And she was a type of kid that everyone looked up to.
A leader?
A leader, definitely. Always happy, involved, always included other people. And that has always been my motivation, because she would definitely say, "Mom, get them, don't let them away with it. And don't let anyone else go through what you guys are going through."
What was she studying? She was heading into her fifth
year? She was actually studying biology at yeah. Sonoma State. She was also interning at the coroner's office. That's in the sheriff's department. The day she passed, she actually had helped with 3 autopsies and then came home and told her dad all about it, then went for a part-time job. She had a part-time job in a sushi place. Then she left because she was going down to the party for Aoife, because obviously with her and Olivia, they were so close back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. And Olivia, it was Aoife's 21st, and she'd known Aoife for many, many years. Mm. She was up in Canada the year before with all the girls. So she was just one of these kids who was the life and soul. I mean, it's just, it's a big part of our life is missing and will always be missing. And when I look at like Ashley and I look at Olivia, both of them together, it's a huge loss for us.
You went to the States in what year?
We went in 89, and Ashley was born actually in May 28th. So she had just turned 22. Where a lot of the other students who passed and that were turning 22 later that, you know, during the summer.
And had up until this point, had America been good to you from?
Oh, America's fine for us. I mean, yeah. We were fine in America. We were working away and, you know, you think your life is going to be fine and you're back and forth to Ireland and your kids are back and forth to Ireland and your life is going fine. And yeah. This happens. So you really don't know with life. What life has in store for you.
And I think you were the only parent there that night, is that right? You got to the scene.
Yeah, myself and my husband were there, and our other daughter, Amanda, and I mean, we knew obviously our own Ashley and Olivia had passed, and then Emer, and we were trying to find out who the other kids were as well. And I mean, obviously you'd like someone to help your kid if you were the only mother there as well. To help the kids that were there. But as I said then, like the pastoral center, I mean, the Father Brendan, who actually got this award a couple of years ago,
yeah.
He actually was there as well that night, and the Irish consulate. I mean, I don't think people realize how great the Irish government and what they did.
And the diplomatic service.
And the diplomatic service there for all the injured, for everyone.
Good.
Just unreal. And also, if you look at the pastoral centre, I mean, the support they gave to those kids, and not only the students who were injured or the families who had lost a child or children were injured, but also all the friends of all those kids.
Traumatised.
They were totally traumatised.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Irish pastoral centre, and you look at Father Brendan, you look at Phil Grant, they were all on the ground at that time. And just amazing, the support that they actually gave to, and then also the Irish community, obviously, as well, over in the States.
What did they do for you, for your heart?
For me, it was just an amazing to see. For us, like, we lived in the States, so it was a little bit different, and obviously, with my niece as well, we had a service in where we live in St. Joseph's.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, with all the Irish consulate, the mayors, I mean, Anne Anderson, who was the ambassador at the time, just the outpour, I think, of support was unreal. And then, like, we came back here then, obviously, after, you know, for the other funerals, for the other kids, and just we went down, we seen a lot of the students as well who were in the hospitals and who... And the support there was just amazing. Still, you see the Pastoral Centre going down. You'd see Phil Grant's, you know, the concert office as well.
Still present.
Present, still involved with them all the time. And I can honestly say for me, even for the past, you know, 4 years with what I've been doing with changing the laws and that in California, they have been behind me 100% of the way.
Does this all, this horrible disaster, Jackie, feel like it happened yesterday still?
It will never go away.
Does it feel as
it
as,
feels
as
like
it was?
It's yesterday? Yeah, it could be yesterday.
That intensity.
I mean, the intensity is definitely there, and I mean, when you lose a child, I don't think you just don't expect your children to die before you.
It's the great unimaginable.
It's just unreal. It really, really is, and it's something you will never get over. You try and get through, and you try and live. I mean, you've other another child or other children. You just, you exist and you try and find the new normal.
Have you found the new normal?
I don't think we ever will. But I mean, we're just existing. And I think you'll go through your life thinking when you lose a child, it's, you really lose your past, part of your past, your present and your future. Because everything you have kind of looked forward to and all, it's gone. It really, really is. And it changes people's lives. I mean, we were very fortunate, as I said, for all the support from the Irish people. Even, as I said, for myself going to Sacramento to change the laws, the legislation and that. I mean, the support from Phil Grant, the support from, he was the consul or general at the time in San Francisco, his assistants are... Vice Consul at the time was Kevin Burns. Then Colm came in and, you know, Father Brendan. Now you have the new consul over there who is Robert O'Driscoll. Just amazing.
And tomorrow you're going to be presented with an award by Michael D. Higgins, President of Ireland, which is under the Presidential Distinguished Service Awards. How do you feel about that?
It's very, it's bittersweet. It
really
is. And I was, I'm very humble. I'm very shocked to be actually receiving that award. But for me, it's, I am really accepting this award on really behalf of the six souls who passed that night.
You'll be thinking about them every step of the way.
I think about them all the time.
Do you?
I mean, every time I go to Sacramento, I have their pictures in front of me. I mean, I look at it. I mean, Olivia, my niece, forever 21. I look at Emer, forever 21. Owen, forever 21. Nikolai, forever 21. Lorcan, forever 21. And my darling daughter, Ashley, would be forever 22.
Forever 22.
So
they'll be with
they'll
you.
They'll be always. And as I said, like, there's been so much support. I mean, you look at, the president was out before, he came out and he thanked all the first responders out there. They planted trees. They've, for me, even like letters coming from the Irish government, or you have even the ambassador writing letters as well. The support is definitely there.
Let me ask you a little bit, if I can, Jackie, about what just, I need to share with people at home how extraordinary you've been in terms of what you've done in regarding building regulations, these balconies, these rogue builders, the cowboys. You went on a mission. And you said at the beginning of our chat here this morning that Ashley would have said, you go get them.
100%.
And you went to get them, didn't you? Can you give me a sense of what you've done? I mean, you've gone to politicians, you've gone to the highest positions to change the law. You deserve this moment, but I really want people to get a sense of what you've done. Can you tell us what you've changed?
Well, I think for me, it's just never give up. I mean, the first bill that was out there was well, won't matter, numbers, SB4, 65 and that. And that changed some of the codes and that. And then there was a part of it that was for reporting. So with the balcony, which mm-hmm. was built by this particular construction company,
yeah.
who had paid out 23 plus million a couple of years beforehand for the same thing, water intrusion.
Just to explain that, they had paid out over 23 million euro in construction defect mm-hmm. settlements.
Yes.
That were never reported to the state.
That's
license board.
That's what I was going to say.
Remarkable.
The contractor's licensing board is someone who oversees California.
Yes.
And the bottom line is, they receive probably, I'm going to say 15,000 roughly,
yeah.
Consumer complaints a year. But they're only usually for single family homes. They wouldn't be for the multi big construction industry,
sure.
because anything with them, they settle and the insurance company pays it and nobody knows about it. So for me, it was, well, why does California even have a contractor's licensing board? Is it only for going after the little people like me? If I, say, built a fence too near the road on my property or something, they'll come and, you know, tell me to take it down and fine me, blah, blah, blah. But are they're not going to go after a big company like that because they don't know what they've paid out, because the insurance will pay it and move on. So that part of the bill was scratched. It was sent off for a study. And usually when something is sent off for a study, it's bye-bye, never to be seen again.
Yes.
So I actually then start contacting the contractor's licensing board and I start sending them everything and so much research anyway, meeting with them and asking them questions. And I was blown away with the answers I was getting because I wasn't satisfied. So then the contractor's licensing board had, they had to vote to see would this go back for legislation the following year. And we'll say one person actually on the committee voted for it not to go back. Big mistake. So for me, red flag, go home all mad about it. And it did go back for legislation.
Sure.
But that particular person owned the company. And that company had paid out about over $1 million for water intrusion, probably about a year before.
This is the water intrusion you talked about
yes.
earlier that was
yes.
the balcony.
And totally different, but nobody knew about it.
No.
And this person was on the contractor's licensing board. And for me, that's a conflict of interest.
Wouldn't you think?
So I kept it in my pocket. And then like when it was going through for the governor to sign, I met with the governor's office and I let them know I might be a grieving mother, but there's something fishy going on if they have somebody on this board who's actually voting no, doesn't want it to go back, and they've already paid out for a company. It's a conflict of interest and they shouldn't be on that board.
You exposed it.
So I totally exposed that. But for me, it's like every time I'd go to Sacramento, every committee, I'd go to who was on the committee,
yeah.
how much they received from whoever supported them. Were they Republican? Were they Democrats? Whatever.
Were you doing this all on your own?
Yeah. This was a nighttime. Every night I'd spend hours on it. And I'd usually, whatever I talk about was directed at whoever was on that committee.
Mm.
So a lot of people that probably heard me speak were probably thinking that lady's crazy, but it was directed to whoever and they would know that I knew whatever about them at the time. But I mean, that was very important to me and it shows, I think when you're going there and it's a side and it's putting a face, it's not just these committees, they're reading through stuff and signing off yes, no, whatever.
You were determined, as I understand it, Jackie, to humanize the legislation, to put a face and to put mm-hmm. breathe life into these numbers and words that were meaningless. Mm-hmm. And kind of corrupt by the sound of things.
It is.
And when you testified to the California State Senate hearing in 2016, you said the most striking things that really would, in terms of humanizing it, can I read some of the words
yeah,
you
fine.
Said? I don't want to
no, it's fine.
Ask you to do it because it wouldn't be fair, but you talked about Ashley and you said she should be here today.
Mm-hmm.
And she should have graduated on May 24th and her birthday, she would have been 23, but she's not here. She'll be forever, like you said a minute ago, 22. She'll never get married. Her father will never walk her up the aisle. And her cousin Olivia will never be her bridesmaid. And I would tell you one thing you said. Her father carried her up the aisle and he carried her coffin up the aisle.
Well, what you have to do, it hurts for me as a mother and an aunt and a friend and for all these other parents, but you have to get through to these people, whatever it takes. And if it means having to, you know, say things like that, you do have to make see the human side.
Did you get
what we're going through?
Did you get the results you wanted?
Yes, people, because what happens is a lot of people are shocked by it, and they have kids, and they then start thinking about if that was, because I always tell them, if that was your child, how would you feel?
Precisely.
Exactly, how would you feel? So I think that's a big part of it. So that was one of the bills anyway. Just being another couple, one was for, I'm used to results and to have to keep on going back and back and be patient.
Yeah.
Another one went through then the same time back in 2018 for the apartment buildings for inspections. And that was another thing that drove me nuts, because inspections, you had someone who, anyone could go out. I could become an inspector tomorrow where I know nothing about construction.
Really?
Take the test and pass if I was good at test taker. But now they want license. So that was changed for the apartments. Then the condos weren't included in that. So
Back again. Okay.
So that the condos only went through there in this September.
Which means that the legislation now is watertight.
No. It's not watertight, because I don't think it'll ever be watertight. The construction industry, obviously, they didn't want the reporting of secret settlements. Obviously, the construction industry didn't want to have inspections done on these balconies.
But you've got that changed.
That, but there's still inspections. They're not in hotels. So anyone who goes to a hotel, start looking at the hotels and all these balconies. They can go down.
You're from Talla originally.
I am.
And you moved in 89, like so many other Irish people, mm-hmm. for a better life in America.
We went for 2 years and we're still there.
You're still there. And I can hear your Dublin coming out, and I can hear your American weaved, because that's your story. It's a weaving of the two.
It's probably a weaving of the two.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Are you a lawyer?
No.
No. Are you a teacher?
No.
Are you a politician?
No.
So where did this person come from, who's a combination of all of these things? Because you're a fighter.
I've always been a fighter. I actually, for over 20 years, I was involved with educational sales. So I was vice president of different colleges, and I turned failing colleges around. So I was heavily involved in education. But I think I've always been that person who wants to do the right thing, no matter what it takes. And that was something I really instilled into my girls.
You've had, and by the way, Amanda was with us, and she was the Rosa Tralee candidate.
San Francisco, yeah.
And I hope life has been good to her.
It's great. She's actually in Ireland. She's studying for her PhD now in UCD.
Yeah, she crossed the road.
Across the road, and she loves it. She actually, she just got back from CERN. That's another thing I'm looking at. When I see CERN, that Ireland's not part of CERN.
So you
and
want
I'm
to
thinking,
get that going on.
That needs to go.
I feel another fight coming on, Jackie, and I'd rather not be involved. I'd rather not work in CERN if you're coming at me, because that's going to change everything.
I think the Irish government just probably forgot to put the check in the mail. Maybe it got lost.
Before we came on air, you were saying briefly that, you know, you've had loss in your life, you know, your parents, and you mentioned a brother But Ashley is where the difficulty in terms of forging ahead lies. How hopeful are you about the future and Ashley's memory and legacy?
Well, I think that for me is very important, is the six kids' legacy. And that was something I remember when Ann Anderson was out, when I met her actually, when the president came out that October in 2015. And she was the one who even said, you know, maybe you should look at getting bills passed, because at that stage I had seen some stuff that wasn't right. And that's when I start getting involved more. And, you know, you always need somebody watching things.
A text says, I'm feeling very low at the moment. I'm self-employed. Business is about to close up and I'm up to my eyes in debt and in taxes and in mortgage. But I still have my two beautiful children. And God bless that lady. Her chat has inspired me to get up and keep going.
Well, you know what? You have to do the right thing, because one person, I really do believe, can make a difference. And no matter what it is, You know, if you believe in something, you just keep going and do the right thing. And I think as Irish people, I mean, they do, and they do help you, and you'd be surprised the amount of support you can get if you ask for it.
Jackie Donoghue, it's been a pleasure to meet you. I wish it wasn't under these circumstances, and I wish you all the very best in life with your family. I hope you have a dignified evening tomorrow with the President at Ours and Lutheran, and that Ashley and the other young people's lives are remembered appropriately, and that they're present with you, not only then, but into the future. So mind yourself, please, and I hope you're well-minded.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time
this
morning.
Thank you.
Jackie Donoghue, joining us live in the studio this morning. Back shortly.